Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Today's scripture will be from Exodus 20, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, if you'd like to join along. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the seventh day and set it apart as holy.
Micah 6:8 has been our theme verse for the year, and it's been our theme verse for this month. If you would, let's say it together. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6:8. I hope that's something we can internalize and take with us every day, not just this month. When I was growing up, we had an old book on our shelf. It was a collection of Aesop's fables. Maybe these are some stories that you grew up hearing or you grew up reading. But one of them has to do with a man who came up to Aesop as he was playing some games with some boys in the village, wasting time, enjoying life. And the man looked at Aesop and he said, "How could you waste so much time in such a frivolous activity?" And so the response from Aesop was to say, "Can you tell me the meaning of this? Can you tell me the meaning of an unstrung bow, like a bow and arrow that's not strung and ready to fire?" And the man thought, and he couldn't think of one. And so Aesop had to tell him, when the bow is strung, if it's always strung, it will be tight. Eventually, it might break. There has to be a time when it is unstrung, when it is relaxed, if it's going to be useful. It doesn't take much to see how that can apply to our lives. There have to be times in our life where there is a little bit of margin, where there's a little bit of time where we can be lax. If we are really highly strung, is a phrase we use sometimes, if we're always working, always focused, always tense, then we're headed for a pretty bad destination. There have to be times where we are a little more lax. Now, I probably don't have to convince any of us of the importance of spending time resting. We're going to think a little bit about what it means to really balance our work and our rest. But I probably don't have to tell you how important rest is. In fact, I likely don't have to tell you why rest is something that's so beneficial to us. I could probably paint a picture of how incredible it is, incredibly relaxing it is to rest. I mean, just think about how peaceful it feels to rest. I mean, can you look, is there anything that's more relaxed looking than that right there? I mean, isn't that great? We would love to be peaceful and restful like that. And I know that last week we talked about work, and we reminded ourselves that work is from God. It's created by God. It's not bad. There's nothing evil about it. In fact, we're designed to work. But just as God guides work, God also gives us some guidelines for rest. And so I know that there are people who are here this morning, and you are in a particular job, maybe a season of life in your job, where rest is just about impossible. We have a lot of people who work in the medical field, doctors and nurses and people who work in those offices. And so there are times where you just aren't going to be able to stop and rest when you want to. You've just got to get things done. There are people here who own their own businesses. And there are times when if you're running your business, you're going to have to go 80 miles an hour just to make it work. Even different seasons of life can be this way. You know, you can look at someone who is a parent of a very young child and you could say, you should get some rest. But that advice isn't going to be very helpful if they're up all night with their child, if they're dealing with all kinds of things. So I understand all that. So if that's the season of your life you're in, please don't hear me saying, you know, you really ought to get some rest when you're saying it's impossible for me to do that. What I'd like us to do, rather, is focus on our attitude behind our busyness. Yes, there are times when there are things we can't control. But is it possible there are other times when there are things we can control and yet we choose not to? If someone asks you how things are going, isn't it really tempting to say, I'm really busy? I know I say that a lot. When's the last time you had that conversation with someone who wasn't busy? Chances are most of our conversations are about how busy we are. And so it's hard for us to carve out that kind of time. In fact, since the 1960s, there's a researcher named Anne Burnett who studies how the language we use impacts the way we live. And she's been collecting hundreds of those holiday letters, those Christmas letters that you send out the end of the year. Here's an update on how we're doing. And so she's been collecting hundreds of those for decades, using them as sort of a baseline of research to see how people are changing through the years. You know one thing she's noticed in recent decades? The rise of certain words and phrases like hectic, whirlwind, consumed, crazy, hard to keep up with it all, on the run, and way too fast. She's seen those terms used over and over again. In fact, one reads this way that she got recently. I'm not sure whether writing a Christmas letter when I'm working at the speed of light is a good idea. But given the amount of time I have to devote to any single project, it's the only choice I have. We start every day at 4:45 a.m., launch ourselves through the day at breakneck speed. The experience is much like sticking your head in a blender. Only to land in a crumpled heap at 8:30 p.m., wondering how we made it through the day. Does that sound familiar to anybody this morning? Does that resonate with anybody? Do you feel that way sometimes? You start early in the morning, you go till late, and at the end of the day, you wonder how you made it through. One of the things that she has noticed, Burnett, as she's gone through this, is that there are a lot of times where it seems like busyness has almost become a way of bragging. It's almost like saying, well, I'm busy because obviously I've got a lot of important things to do. People are counting on me. And so I've got to tell you how busy I am so you can know how important I am. One of the authors that I like to read is named Tim Keller. He always has in his articles and books a series of historical figures, of theologians throughout the years that he draws on and gives some great illustrations. I always like reading those. And so as I was doing some reading about this topic, he brought up someone that gave a great insight, a great psychological insight. That person was Rocky Balboa, who you might not think would give a great insight into the way our minds work. But he pointed to a line in the first Rocky movie when he's getting ready to go up in Apollo Creed and you're wondering how he's going to do. And he says, I just want to be able to go the distance. I just want to be able to last the whole time in the ring with him. And he says the reason he wants to go the distance is because once he does that, then people will know I'm not a bum. That was his drive. He just had to do something to prove that he wasn't a bum, because the harder we work, the more we prove that, right? The harder I work, the more I prove that I'm someone who matters. The more I do, the more I can show people I really matter. I'm not just a person, any other person you've ever met. I'm different. I'm special. I'm unique. And you can tell that because of what I've done. Is it possible that one of the things that rest can do is remind us that our identity isn't wrapped up in what we do, but in who we are as a child of God? Is it possible that one of the reasons God shows us this pattern of rest is because the Sabbath in the Old Testament and the principle that carries over throughout our lives of resting reminds us of who's really in charge? I want us to think about that for a few minutes this morning. We're going to begin by thinking about not only the passage that Anton read for us, but what we find out at the very, very beginning of Scripture. From the very beginning, God created rest. Now, last week we talked about work. God created work. Work's not a bad thing. And God created rest. Now, obviously, work, if taken to the extreme, can be used outside of the way God planned it. And rest, if taken to the extreme, can be used outside the way God planned it. This is not a spiritual excuse for me to decide not to do anything. Not a spiritual excuse for me to decide I'm going to be unproductive, I'm not going to be a hard worker. All of those things, that's not what this guideline God sets up is designed to do. But it is designed to teach us something important. First of all, if God shows us rest from the very beginning, and God's the one who created our human bodies, it may be that He knows something about the way we work. No one understands our need for rest and recovery better than God. In fact, it's interesting that there are several passages of Scripture that remind us that the body we have was created by God, and therefore we have stewardship over a gift God has given us. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, he reminds them that the church as a whole is the temple of God, but also individually as Christians. If God dwells in me, my body is a temple of God, which means taking care of it is a matter of stewardship. But also, as we see creation unfold in Genesis chapter 1, we see God working 6 days and resting on the seventh. Now, when we think about resting after a long week of work, it's because we need energy. We're worn out. I don't believe that's the indication we get in these 6 days of creation, that really wore God out and He needed to recover and He needed to rest. I think that's putting a human lens on what's happening. I think what God is illustrating here is something important for us. After each day of creation, we read a reflection on that creation, that it is good. At the end of the sixth day, God reflects on creation and sees it is very good. There is something to be said about not just doing the hard work, but also taking a moment to step aside to look at something that's good and to rest in that knowledge. And so God gives us this pattern. He ceased from working, not because He was tired, but because the creation He had done was good. And God shows us this rhythm of work and rest. And so when we go through the Old Testament and the people of Israel, God gives Israel the Sabbath. Actually, we read from the Ten Commandments, but even before we have the formalized Ten Commandments, God is giving that Sabbath principle to Israel. In fact, in Exodus chapter 16, when God is describing the way they collect this manna that He sent from heaven, He says, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent." The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it till morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. So in Exodus 16, you've got this idea of here's how you're supposed to gather this manna. Depending on how many people you need to feed, that's what you take, and you'll have enough. And it's daily that you take it every day. There was only one day where they could take more, and that was before the Sabbath. They weren't to gather any of it on the Sabbath. Because it was a reminder that just as God is the one who gave them that food, God is also ultimately in control. Now, this might be a little bit difficult for us to think about because we don't live in a society controlled by what we can grow. I don't have to grow my own food. I can go purchase food, and I can do that any day of the week. But you can imagine what it would be like in a culture where if you're going to eat something, you're going to have to grow it or get it from someone who has grown it nearby or have cattle that or other flocks that you're using. That's where your food comes from. And if you take a day off of working, you're really putting your well-being and the well-being of your family in the hands of God. You're not in control on the Sabbath day because you're not working. And so you're trusting in God. It's a reminder of that trust. Much like offering sacrifices. If you offer the best of your flock to God, that's a show of trust. That you're not relying on what you have. You're relying on God. And so the Sabbath had that particular purpose. In fact, as Ezekiel 20, verse 12 tells us, is that God gave the Sabbaths to Israel in the wilderness. As they wandered, they were given these Sabbaths. In addition to the regular weekly Sabbath day, there were festivals. Festivals like Passover, or Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, the Year of Jubilee. In fact, every seventh year was designed to be a Sabbath year for the soil. Even the soil was given rest. It's interesting. God created this concept. I think it's noticeable if you look around our culture. We hear a lot of discussion about self-care, taking care of ourselves, which obviously is important. We need to take care of ourselves. But it's interesting to be reminded that's always been part of God's plan. God created rest, and He modeled rest for us. Now, we see that happen in creation, in the days of creation. That may be the most noticeable example. But we also see this clearly in the lives of people in Scripture. Not too long ago, as we were working through that Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith, we talked about Elijah. And Elijah on Mount Carmel, and he faces off with these hundreds of prophets, and he stands alone against them, and God gives him victory. God shows him who and everyone else who the true God is. Elijah defeats all those prophets. He runs down, and then he hears word from the queen that Jezebel is going to take his life, that she has people at her disposal who are going to do that. And after this intense period for Elijah, he is exhausted. Not only did he have to face off against hundreds of people, and he runs and is physically exhausted, he leaves his servant, goes a day's journey into the wilderness, and he despairs of his life. He's physically exhausted. And the first thing that happens, the first thing God does, before God even comes to Elijah and gives him a clue as to what's going to happen next, he tells him he needs to get physical rest and he needs to eat. You physically need to take care of yourself. I think there are times when we can feel like Elijah because we're just so exhausted by life. It's at that time maybe the most spiritual thing we can do is get some rest so we can think clearly. Jesus shows us that importance of rhythm as well. Not just time with a lot of people, but also time alone. And not just time alone, but time alone in prayer. That prayer is a part of our rest. That prayer can be an activity that helps me focus and keeps me centered. And as part of that, as a church family, we also lean on each other. Not only are we told to cast our cares and anxieties and burdens on the Lord, but Paul would tell the church at Galatia, we're supposed to help each other bear burdens. So sometimes when I'm hurting and when I'm overwhelmed, God would have me entrust that with a brother or sister in Christ that can help me carry that burden. God created rest. God modeled rest. And one thing that's vitally important for us to understand is that God gives rest. There is a kind of rest that can only come from God. It's the kind of rest that even when the world is raging around us, we can find in Him. I love the picture that's created when Jesus is in the boat with His apostles and the storm comes up and the storm is scaring even the experienced fishermen who are in the boat. And what is Jesus doing during the storm? Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is resting. You know, when they wake Jesus up, they're panicked. And the contrast between the panicked apostles and the peaceful Savior, I think, is a powerful one. When I serve God, there's a rest that can come even when the world around me is chaotic and unpredictable. That's why we read language like this in Matthew 11 when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you take my yoke, if you take my burden, you're going to find there's some rest there, there's some relief. Hebrews 3 discusses this concept of entering into the rest of the people of God. And look at what Hebrews 4 says as it builds on that. Beginning in verse 9, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. So living under the new covenant, we don't keep the Sabbath day in the way that the Israelites did, but we see this important principle, this rhythm of work and rest, of caring for ourselves, our bodies that are the temple of the Holy Spirit, of taking care of ourselves so we can better serve God, and looking for an ultimate rest. In fact, when you get all the way to the end of Scripture, when you get to Revelation 14, and you have this statement in verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Is work important? Absolutely. Scripture tells me that my deeds, my works, the things I do will have effects that even might outlast me and that will extend far beyond me. Work is important, but rest is as well. And in fact, that's that eternal state as described in Revelation 14. There will be a rest. That rest can only come from God. That's why work will never fully give us satisfaction. Work will never fully give us that peace in the midst of chaos. Just like anything else good that God has created, if I make that my idol, if I make busyness an idol, and if I just pile things into my life so I can tell people how important I am and how busy I am, that will never be enough. There will never be enough hours in the day for me to fill it with things that will ultimately give me fulfillment. I'll never get to the point where I say, this is it. Now I'm busy enough that I am validated and I feel important. I'll never get there. I can only find this ultimate rest. I can only find this ultimate peace in serving God. It may be the best thing I can hear this morning when I come to the Word of God, that the best thing I can hear is, I am not defined by what I do. That's one of the first things that comes up in our conversations, right? When we meet someone, well, what do you do? Why is that? Because we often define ourselves as what our job is. So maybe the best thing I can hear is, I'm not defined by what I do. I'm not defined by my vocation. I'm not defined by how many hours I put in to work every week. I am not defined by how busy I am. I'm not defined by how full my calendar is. I am defined by my relationship with God. And only when my relationship with God is where it needs to be will everything else be able to be balanced. So if you're here this morning and you're exhausted and there's no end in sight because you've got all kinds of things on your plate, please understand, I'm not trying to make any of us feel guilty for doing what we need to do. What I do want to challenge us on is, are we carving out time in our schedule among the things that maybe we don't need to do, but maybe we do because they make us feel a little more important? Is there a way that I can look at that and say, I need to make some changes? I'll never do enough during the day to give me lasting fulfillment. My schedule will never be full enough to give me peace in the midst of storms. But God is the one who can provide that true kind of rest. And the rest that's discussed in Hebrews chapter 4, the rest that we see in Revelation 14, is a rest that's promised to children of God. If you need to become a child of God this morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to begin that life that is working for Him, absolutely working for Him, but also knows that place of quiet rest we sung about that's near to the heart of God, you can do that this morning. It may be that you have other needs and you need to lean on us, that we need to bear your burden with you this morning. We have a couple of ways to do that. You could come forward and let us all pray for you and with you. Or if you'd like to wait until after our service and go out this doorway, there'll be a couple of our elders here of this congregation who would love to sit down with you and to pray with you and for you. If there's any way we can help, please come as we stand and as we sing together.